Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest in Kansas City soccer coverage from KCSN, featuring No Other Pod with Jimmy Mack and Daniel Kuser. Currently, with Daniel Kuser and Chris Wright, and Soccer Talks with Ali Trost-Martin. KC Sports Network is your new go-to for Kansas City soccer coverage. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. And now, let's get to it.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of No Other Pod. Dan's already booing me. I'm Jimmy. I'm back, and I am here, as always, with my good buddy Daniel Kuser. Dan, what is going on, my friend?
You guys, you see this? I get one good week at hosting, and then I get relieved of my duties. Now, Chris stepped in for you last week, man. I got to tell you.
Yeah?
He's not. You guys are just two different people.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. I can talk to you guys in different ways, and I'm like, you make a sandwich. I'm in the middle of this thing. it's a hell of a time, but welcome back, dude.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's a small world, and after all, and you may
only went on that ride once.
That's one too many.
Yeah, well, there was like a 2-minute line, and it was raining, and we were trying to get out of the rain, but it's
better than an 80-minute line in 90-degree weather.
Yeah, that's true. Only saw two snakes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You saw snakes where?
It's about 3 feet behind me in Hollywood Studios.
Wait, snakes in the park?
In the park. I was at Disney World, for those of you who did not know. We're standing there getting ready to go on the Slinky Dog Dash, you know, the roller coaster that they have in Toy Story Land. It's a fun little roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so our time to go on it is like 2 minutes away, so we're just kind of standing there waiting. And Brittany looks behind me, and she got this look on her face, She thought it was a fake snake. She thought it was something that someone had just put there. And then she kind of backed up a second, and I turn around, and I'm in the middle of a Disney park. There's kids everywhere, and I just go, "Oh shit!" And I'm backing up because I'm not exaggerating. It's at least 4 feet long.
Stop.
Black. It's a black snake.
And anaconda.
And its head is up in the air, like the first foot of its body. It's up, and it's looking at us. And it was probably 2 feet behind me. So I go, oh,
shit up like that. Why was it doing that?
I don't know. And so I back up, and everybody's kind of looking at me all weird, and then other people see it, and everybody starts gathering around, and there's this little, it's not like a chain link fence, but it's kind of the same sort of deal where it had the holes in the fence that was right near it. This motherfucking snake slithers up it and then starts slithering through the holes halfway up the fence, going horizontally along the fence, just looking at us, just going in and out, in and out, in and out of all these holes. And I'm like, should I tell somebody? I don't know if the park cares because it's Florida. There's probably 8,000 of these all over the place just watching us at all times. And that was the first one.
Aren't they just like harmless garden snakes, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to mess with it, though.
I don't either.
Why is it sneaking up on me?
Bro, why are you sneaky snake? I tell you what, everyone's like, those spiders eat bugs. And I'm like, that's cool. I don't want them in my blanket.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
And then we saw another snake on our way back to the hotel one time just slither across the pathway.
Oh, boy.
So.
You guys, I just.
Florida.
I don't like that. Okay, don't go in April because that's snake time.
Well, I mean, the crowds were lovely, and it only rained for about 3 hours of the entire trip. So it was, you know, very, very, overall, a very good time to go. Just the snakes were out.
You just go all the time now. You just are a Disney person.
No, I've been twice now in my whole life to Disney World.
In 2 years.
It does happen to be about in the span of a year because I went with one side of the family.
And then you went to California.
That was fun. Well, my family lives in California.
So? You went to Disney out there?
I haven't been to Disneyland in a while.
Oh, really?
It's been a solid 2 or 3 years at least.
I'm getting super jealous and sassy.
But then one side of the family went. And then my side of the family is like, well, we want to go to Disney World. And so then that worked out. So, yes, I've been twice.
Join your family.
Well, we're probably not going again for a while because none of us have money to go anymore.
Dude, yeah, your money's done for a bit. Anyone who's ever been knows, like, hey, let's start building that savings back up, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I will say, though, the new Tron ride, pretty cool.
I wonder.
It'd be like you're driving a light cycle. I enjoyed it, so... It was more fun than watching a Sporting KC soccer game, I'll tell you that.
Well, did you do the Avatar thing, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a fun one.
That one's fun. The new Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster, that one's fun. Of course,
two things there I haven't done yet.
It's pretty cool.
Time to go back. All right.
Got to go back. So maybe just take a little detour to Orlando on your way down to the Miami game later this year. I'm just throwing ideas out.
Don't put any ideas in my head. Don't tempt me with a good time.
But yeah, man, how was your week holding down the fort?
Week was good, dude. Not sure why I just went high voice on you. So that's good.
Feels like you're lying if you have a high voice.
You know, it was a soccer week, right? And this whole got to watch Casey Kern on Wednesday, and then saw Sporting Saturday. Then went to Casey Kurtz Sunday. Now we got Sporting again on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we're in the thick of it now, man. Things are moving.
There's all sorts of news dropping, both on the Current and the Sporting side. We find out Willie Agata's got a broken leg we didn't know about. So we'll talk about that. Then all of a sudden,
a broken leg he didn't know about.
Kansas City Current coach is getting fired mere hours before the game that I know y'all talked about on Currently. So it's, this is wild. It's a wild time to be a Kansas City soccer fan.
Pretty fun. It's at this point, man, like, okay, you want to talk about this game?
I don't think we have a choice.
Let's get into it, because are you at the point yet where if we get scored on or like miss an easy chance or something, do you just laugh to keep from if something happens, like if we hit a post, Felipe Hernandez hit the post late in the game, and I just go, you can do is laugh to keep from crying.
That's about all you can do, honestly. Yeah. I mean, especially when you get your third red card in 9 games, you have as many red cards as you do goals.
Are we the most vicious team out there? We're coming for you. We'll fucking fight you, dude. Get red cards.
I mean, I kind of laughed when the Felipe goal or no goal bounced off the post, because I was like, of course, we'd somehow play our best soccer of the season down a man and almost steal, you know, a point on the road. And then,
more exciting.
Yeah, it was some of the best offensive soccer they've played. It was going down a man. And I don't know if it's because they had more space and they needed to be more creative or what, but suddenly you weren't cycling the ball to the forwards or to the wings to just lob in crosses.
I was having fun. I was like, we might mess around and tie this game here in a minute. This is crazy.
I think New England maybe got a little bit of a little complacent.
Yeah.
They were up 2-0 and then 2-1. But, I mean, the starting lineup is what it was. I mean, we knew that it was going to be interesting because Zusi was on the injury report. Caden Pierre is unavailable. Cam Duke made his first appearance at right back for the year. We had Logan and Denbe return. He started at left back. Logan looked fine. And then Fontas and Rosero holding the center back positions down. Roger had to go back into the starting lineup. And then Island Polito obviously up front between Daniel Shallowy and Johnny Russell. I don't know what your biggest takeaway from the game was, but mine is, my God, we need, if Caden Pierre is not going to be available, we need to have a third right back on the roster that's not Graham Zusi. Because he got cooked all game.
Yeah, he had moments, right? And that's what Peter said in the post game. He was just like, Cam had moments.
Right.
I mean, who would say they miss Zusi, dude? Like, so many people want Zusi out of there, but it's like, kind of want him in there because,
well, I mean,
the dude can play.
He's, I mean, you know? Here's the thing with Zusi. I love Zusi. I think he's a solid player.
Yes.
I don't know if he would be a consistent starting right back on a true MLS contending team, but he's a solid player.
What are you saying?
I know he's your guy.
We can continue. Yeah, I mean, probably a good best friend too. Let's see about it.
And I know that Peter says the way his body is built and his athleticism and whatnot, it's actually made to continue to play at a high level, even given his age. But
dude, talking about dudes' bodies. Here for it. We do it all the time.
We talked about this a little in the off season. Either you thought Caden Pierre was ready to take the mantle, which I assumed must be the case if they're not concerned about bringing in another right back, or you probably need to bring in another right back. Because as no matter how good you think Graham Zusi is or how fit you think he is, there's a risk when you have a guy of that age playing that many minutes that consistently at the high intensity that Peter asks his fullbacks to play. And now we're in a position where we don't really have any right backs available, and it kind of sucks because that was exploited all game. The two goals came down, well, they came off of turnovers, off of throw-ins, but then down the left side, and Kane was getting caught in no man's land all game. It's just...
Well, I guess we'll just go ahead and bring up Mo Abonati, defender from SKC2 to help out, you know?
We will talk about, you know, some of the signings they're calling up from SKC2 ahead of this U.S. Open Cup game tonight in Kansas City against Tulsa Athletic. But if you look at what happened, it was in the 30th minute. Sporting KC, they weren't playing great, but they weren't playing terrible, I would say, for the first 30 minutes. It was a relatively even game. Nobody was really taking control in the first 30 minutes. Kansas City probably had the best chance of the game in like the third minute with Daniel Shallowy. But then there's a turnover off a throw-in. And then Carlos Hill springs Boateng down the left side. And Boateng was just eating Cam Duke's breakfast all game. Cam Duke gets caught in the middle. He's not able to run down Boateng. And then, you know, this Vrioni, who hasn't scored hardly any goals all year, just sort of finds some space away from Rosero. Taps it in, left foot. Not much Melia can do about that. Can't really put that on Melia. And now it's 1-0 in the 31st minute.
They made that look easy, dude. And just in the run of play like that, it's just... The dude gets a second goal later on. Spoiler alert. The dude who you just said doesn't score goals.
Probably.
And then he's like,
wrong.
Just kidding. Vrioni, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Macaroni. He just puts it away. Two times.
4 minute span.
Unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. I was like, cool, we're down one goal. And then, oh, sorry, no time to even go take a piss because we're down two goals.
Yeah. And it almost happened identically. Again, another turnover off the left side. Carlos Hill gets the ball, springs Boateng down the left side because Cam Duke can't catch up with him. He sends it to the middle. Vrioni is there to clean up the shot that deflects off of Tim Melia because he can't gather it in because it was a very hard hit initially from close range, and Vrioni taps it in. Now suddenly it's 2-0 in the 35th minute, and that was basically all she wrote.
Man, oh man.
It's just... This, I don't know, it was so disheartening because I didn't expect to get a win necessarily. New England, I mean, these two teams are going in opposite directions. New England's top of the table in the East, Sporting Kansas City bottom of the table in the West. But I was, I guess, naively hopeful. Not hopeful in that I actually thought it would happen, but like hopeful is like, please God, just let something happen. That we might at least be competitive or come away with a tie. And those two goals happen, and it's just like, well, that, I mean, now what? Now we're down 2-0 on the road to a very good team.
Bad deal. Bad deal, man. And but you know, you knew 2-0, next goal is the biggest one, no matter who gets it. You know what I mean? Bro.
Yeah.
I went through some emotions, all right? I tripped and
fell.
How
are you feeling at halftime at this point?
Well, I'm feeling mad. But then I tripped and fell into some emotions, and we get that goal in the second half, and I go, we're gonna tie this game, we might fuck around and win it.
No.
Let's go, we're going to win. And then the red card happened, and I was like, we're losing.
Yeah. It's
all over the place, dude.
Well, and I'm going to talk about the red card here in a minute, because there's red card and then there's VAR, so maybe there's hope, and it's like, nope, fuck your hope. But
it's the VAR just to see what we classify it as. You're off, you're out of the game regardless, right. Fontas, don't worry about it, you're gone. But we need to know how to classify it. We don't give a shit. We don't care how you classify it.
But we're it's halftime, it's 2-0, and it's I don't know, it just it really sucked, because Johnny Russell said, like, we had some conversations in the second or at halftime that
who talked in the locker room, do you think? He didn't say it.
He said a few guys spoke, sort of the usual stuff, and obviously the manager spoke as well. You're not going to get out of the position we're in by going out and playing like we did in the first half. That's evident. No one's going to help us. We have to do it. The guys that are in the locker room are going to be the ones that have to change it, and you're not going to do it the way we did it in the first half.
Okay, well, let's speculate here. So who talked? Who got up and said some shit?
I assume Johnny did. He's the captain.
I assume he was one. But who got up there and spoke in a way that you can understand what he's yelling about?
Maybe Roger?
Because when Johnny gets to yelling, and it's thick and it's Scottish.
Scottish accent.
Just like, como what?
I'm assuming Johnny did. I mean, if you're looking at who played for Sporting KC, Johnny, I assume Roger, and then maybe Tim? I mean, those were the three leaders basically on the field at the time. You're not going to have, I mean, sure, it could have been Eric Tommy, but you
know. This is a Temmelia appreciation podcast now, though, by the way.
I feel bad for him because, yeah, I mean, if there is a positive to take from this game, and there's not hardly any.
It's his spot now. It's his position.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there, because I don't ever actually think Polskamp played poorly.
No.
Polskamp played well.
Something happened in training where Tim Melia was like, thanks for keeping it warm for me. I'll take it back.
I mean, it's something happened. And I mean, and this is a thing with Peter's coaching style. We know this. When someone's playing well, he's going to keep them in there until they're not. And that's what we saw. That sort of happened with Castellanos. And then he was sort of forced to take him out with the red card. But we had Castellanos and Rosero in there because that was going well. And now, you know, obviously Castellanos might be back in there because Fontas is out. But it could be Volitor who has to get in there now because Fontas is going to be on red card suspension.
Then Volitor is going to get a red card. Our center backs are getting mean, bro.
And they're just, but they're dumb.
Yeah.
They're dumb cards. And so.
But they're warranted.
Yeah. I'm not saying, yeah, I it is fair.
Just dumb fouls. I mean,
just dumb. And maybe they're not being put in a position to succeed because our midfield's not playing great and we're not keeping possession. But you know, there's a whole host of reasons we can talk about as to like what's actually happening here. But, this is just, I mean, man, it's really, really unfortunate. And if you look at the passing network, what happened, there was hardly any play for New England up the middle or down the right side. It is just thick passing lines left. 'Cause they knew Cam Duke playing that right back spot was the weak spot. And they've exploited it.
As to bet, teams do that, though, dude. Teams do that. Even on the KC current side, they got some rookie defenders, and you'll see teams going at them. Mm-hmm. No fucking shit. Why wouldn't you?
It sucks. Really sucks. But I want to talk about this, the goal that we did get, and maybe if there's some positive to take from that, and then the red card. But we're going to do that right after we take a break right here. So we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back.
We're back, bro.
We're back. Halftime conversations are had in the locker room. You come out and you're thinking, okay, well, 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in sports, right? In soccer, that's what they say. And like you said, next goal really matters. Okay. Sporting Kansas City is going to get back in it. They basically had to do what they did. 49th minute. They are in a set piece in a dangerous spot. Daniel Shalloway is stepping over the ball, which I think is interesting that Shalloway is sort of our default set piece taker because Tommy hasn't been great at it. Sometimes it's Johnny, but we don't have a clear set piece taker, I would say, like we have in the past. It used to be Buzio. Buzio was the guy. When Buzio wasn't here, Benny. Benny's the guy. And now it's sometimes Shalloway, sometimes Russell. Who knows?
That's why when it was Shalloway, he's standing over the ball, and I say to Marissa, my wife, I say,
my wife.
I go, this is going to be a shit show. I said, this is that. Nothing's going to, I said, nothing's going to come of this. And, you know, some time was going by, and I said, watch this. We're going to mess around, and it's going to go back post to Johnny or some shit. And it freaking happened. And We both lost our minds, and I'm like, we're going to win this game. It's happening.
It was a gorgeous delivery from Daniel Shalloway.
I get better than that.
Absolutely perfect.
In picture perfect.
And now, I'm you know, there's probably some lackadaisical defending from New England because simply nobody decided to guard Johnny Russell. He just was free the entire time.
That ball was on Johnny's foot. Like, that's like golf, dude. When you see them chip it, like, right in the hole, I'm like, that's insane. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how people do that.
And it was good to see Johnny get on the score sheet, and he redirected it perfectly right to the far post, puts it right back past Petrovic. This is what Sporting needed to do. Show some resolve. Show some resiliency. Show some energy on the road against a very good team, and Johnny just absolutely perfectly places it in the far corner, and suddenly they're back.
Hey, 2-1. Revolution will work on that. They will take that set piece, and they'll be like, oh, no.
It's not happening.
We're going to spend an hour defending that kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
That ain't
Bruce Arena yet. Is not going to be happy.
Are we done with that chuckle fucks face with Bruce Arena and his fucking face? No. He's just so fucked, dude. He's so, like, smart alecky. Just looking like an asshole. What is that?
He's earned it.
He's the best. Right to be an asshole. No one has guessed their right.
He's arguably the best coach in the history of Major League Soccer.
So you get to sit there looking like your shit don't stink. Got to tell you, Bruce, your shit stinks.
I mean,
it stinks.
Have you seen Bill Belichick? Sometimes he can be very smug and his little smirk and whatnot.
Does he smirk?
Occasionally.
I feel like Belichick just shuts the hell up and just like doesn't care.
Nick Saban, he can get kind of smug.
Saban just gets mean. He's with the press. He's just like, he's like, I'm only here so I don't get fined.
Hey, if you're Bruce Arena and you've done it with multiple teams, you're now on the Revolution. You're having one of the best teams in the league. I get it.
Don't defend this man. Don't defend this man who, oh my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being around him? Like, I was like, why is your face so punchable, Bruce? You want me to punchicize it? Because I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have a punchable face. I'm just saying that he's a very good coach and he's earned the right to be a little bit smug.
But like during the game, just going, just like, just smirking at things that like Peter's losing his mind. Peter's losing it. And he just looks over at Peter and goes,
fuck you,
Bruce.
he and Peter are friends. They're two of the longest tenured coaches in the league.
Yeah.
So
he's like, look at my friend over there.
They have a healthy respect, but it's, I mean, that's sort of how Bruce Arena does it. He doesn't ever, you know, when Peter gets mad, he's yelling at the refs. He's throwing his hands up or not. Bruce has always just kind of been that guy that's like laughing in disbelief.
Condescending.
That's kind of what he does. Sometimes, yeah.
Condescending. It has no place. It has no place.
Okay.
I don't like it. He probably does that shit at home, and it's not okay.
It's probably not an insignificant subset of our listeners who would gladly switch coaches right now. So, you know, they'd take the smugness if it weren't for, you know, if the results came.
Hey, but you know what? Let's sidebar that real fast. You know what? We'll get to it. We'll get to it in a minute. Keep doing your thing. Circle back.
We'll circle back. And then the 57th minute happens. This is the red card. Now, I will say, Danny Rosario, a fistful of his jersey was grabbed by Vrioni around midfield, and Rosario was pulled down. So, yes, it was a clear denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity from Andrea Fontes. That's a red card worth. I was a little confused why, honestly, they initially gave a second yellow, because Dogzo outside of the box, by rule, red card. If it's inside the box and you get a penalty, then yeah, the whole double jeopardy thing or whatnot. But that should have been a straight red. Now, when they went to VAR, I assumed they were looking at Rosario getting pulled down as a potential foul, because even on the broadcast, they were like, this is interesting because he was fouled back there, and that was in the buildup. And now, what's also interesting is technically, I don't think that would actually be reviewable on its own, because a goal wasn't scored. So, there are all sorts of weird VAR rules about what can actually initiate a review. So I don't think that part could have initiated a review. But once you do start a review, anything is fair game. So even if they started the review to say, actually, this should have been a straight red, they could have then gone and looked at the foul that Rioni committed on Rosario and said, you know what? Yeah, it would have been a red card for denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, but there was actually a foul in the buildup first. I don't even know if they ever looked at it.
Bro, I'm watching the highlights right now. Like, Paul, I'm pinpointing things out, and I just want to go back to that first goal real fast, because that's also kind of on Fontas, man.
Yep.
You see him. He's up there playing freaking the number eight. It looks like he's like in midfield on a guy, and I remember I yelled out, I go, Fontas, you got to get back. And yep. The ball just gets kicked, and you see Danny Rosario.
He's
just
trying.
Hoofing it.
Back by himself.
Fontas is just like, sorry, bro. And that's just it. Done deal. Lo siento, bro. That's what I assume he said.
I mean, this has been a problem for Sporting Kansas City all year long. And Matt Doyle, Matt Doyle actually put up an armchair analyst article on MLS soccer on Sunday titled Sporting KC's Ted State. And it's got some other stuff in there. But he posits in this write-up, he goes, there's a bunch of reasons why Sporting KC are where they are. And he lists six reasons that I think are all fair. No DP number 10 for more than a year in Gadi Kinda. Nemanja Radoya, our big off-season acquisition. Our TAM number 6 has played 72 minutes across three appearances.
Kinda's on the bench, by the way.
Yes. Alan Pulido has only just returned, and he's looked okay, but not necessarily back to where he's been. Willy Agata has apparently had a broken leg that none of us know about, and that's maybe why he hasn't been so good this year.
Doesn't that make you think you should go to the doctor and be like, I have a hurt leg. Please tell me it's broken. I hear that happens.
And then age, basically, for some of the older guys. But what Doyle says is Sporting haven't signed or drafted or acquired a starting caliber center back. Now, I don't think we can count
Chris Rindall, baby.
I don't think we can count Rosario in this yet because it's been around for like three games. But basically, he says we haven't acquired a starting caliber center back in a full decade outside of 1 year of Andrea Fontes.
Why aren't you acknowledging Chris Rindall?
Chris
Rindall. And had a stellar performance.
I mean, yeah, fine. Sure. Good for Chris Rindall.
You're like, I'm not sure if you're serious right now.
But since Aiko Parra in 2013, who have sport? I mean, and they were lucky.
Even Beasler, dude. Beasler was top quality for a long time.
They had Beason and Aurelien Collin, and then they had Beason Ike.
Yeah.
And they didn't need anybody else for quite a while. And then when Ike left, they brought in Fontas, and that hasn't really worked. And Bees got old and left, and they haven't really been able to figure out that center back pairing. But,
God,
you know, that, I mean,
It's so mean.
I mean, it happens to all of us. But Doyle basically says that, like, when you're a team that builds out of the back, if you don't have players who can build out of the back, then you become very predictable on offense, which we have been this year, very predictable. Past Eric Tommy, he runs around, sends it off to the wings, and then the wings hope to do something, and two guys come cover Johnny Russell, so we can't split them the way they used to, and can't do that anymore. And then they're also not athletic enough to recover when the midfield gives the ball away, and then you end up with situations like Rosero running back because Fontes is up, you know, basically playing in the position of the eight, and then you give up goals, and becomes a negative feedback cycle.
Damn
it. Sucks.
It's you know what? This just in, Matt Doyle knows soccer sometimes. did you know this?
It's really, it's frustrating because I don't know how you fix it now. Like, we more than a lot of other people, I think, tried to be very patient with this team and tried to be understanding of, there are players coming back from injury that might make a real difference. And those players have started to come back from injury or have come back from injury. The goals aren't coming at the clip that they should. The defense is now letting up more goals than they were to start the year. Things are going in the wrong direction. The transfer window ended yesterday, Monday, and as of recording, there were no acquisitions and there weren't any expected via the transfer process. So now you're kind of just in this situation where we're 9 games in, we've got no wins and 3 goals, and it's feels like this is what it is. So,
I mean, dude, let's listen to me. You talk about how you wait till May to see how things shape up till the end of May. So I'm not giving up on the team, but it's fair that we're asking questions. It's fair that we're having this conversation now. Peter's 5-year extension is getting a little worrisome here. His seat should probably be getting a little warm.
Seat probably should be getting warm, but
something's up, dude. And you're one of two people, and there's other kinds of people as well. But maybe you want to make a statement, and you don't want to go out and watch this team. That's your right. You don't have to go pay your money, your hard-earned money, to go out there. You don't have to go waste your time to see another loss. Me, it's date night for me. My wife and I enjoy it. We go out there with friends. We enjoy hanging with friends, and it's just kind of a fun night out. If the game's a win, hell yeah, I'm going to lose my voice. If we suck ass, I had good company and good friends. So, but it's everyone holds that right to be done right now. I was talking to my boss at work. He was saying his friend has been invited by another friend, or sorry, his son has been invited from his friend to go to sporting games. And he's like, Dad, I keep saying no because they kind of suck. I said, that's your right. There's two types of people, man.
I get it. I want to talk more about this and sort of the fan response and maybe juxtapose this to what's happening in the LA Galaxy Club after this break. But we're going to go ahead and take our second break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to KC Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
All right. Oop, there he is. He's back.
Coming back. Not I had time to check the phone that was on the floor.
People are under, I mean, they're beyond, they've understandably been upset for a while. And if you look at what's happening, the closest analogy, I guess, to what's happening with Sporting Kansas City is what's happening with the LA Galaxy. These are two founding clubs of the league. They have a very proud history. They've both won many trophies. They both expect to be competitive for championships every single year. The fan bases do, at least, and the clubs say they are. So both teams have been headed in the wrong direction for a period of time now. And, you know, Chris Klein, the president of LA Galaxy, came out and made a statement. Now a lot of people are like, way too little too late, because he's also suspended through like the first half of the year and they can't bring players in because of things he's done and all. But he said something. He said something.
Where's Jacob Reed?
He said something. And what he said was, if we don't make the playoffs this year, I'm going to step aside.
He also and now cursed a little bit.
He did. That's a very low bar for a club like the Galaxy just to be like, if we don't make the playoffs, the Galaxy should make the playoffs every year, without question.
He said
Galaxy
step down.
Should be in the playoffs. He said if the Galaxy don't make the playoffs this year, he will resign from president of the LA Galaxy.
What the hell?
So he made a pretty, again, I think a lot of fans are like, way too late, should have happened a long time ago. But at least he said, from an outside perspective who doesn't have the emotional tie to the LA Galaxy, he said something. Now, I'm not asking Jake Reed to come out and say, if we don't make the playoffs, I'll resign. I'm not asking Peter Vermes to say that. But what I am asking, and we've talked about this before, is the longer things go without anybody other than Peter just saying the same sort of stuff. And I don't know what people expect from Peter, especially in the post-game pressers. Like, nope, we're not going to get anything from him immediately after. You get more stuff. You've been the one who says this before. You get more stuff from him in his midweek pressers. But without a statement from Jake Reed or ownership or Brian Bliss or somebody who has some level of responsibility for this thing, just to acknowledge, like, you know what? You're right. This hasn't been good enough. Here's what our plan is to fix it, and here's what will happen if we don't. And I'm not even saying that you have to be like, I'm this person and this person and this person will be fired, but it's like, just let, if ownership could let fans know that they are aware they own a soccer team, I think that would go a long way.
I hope that LA Galaxy don't make the playoffs, and Chris Klein was like, eh, just kidding, I like my job.
Pulls an Elon, and he's like, yeah. You know what? I think I like being CEO.
You know what? It's all good. I know what I said. You know, oh, I said that? Prove it. And they're like, well, here's the video. Nah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, now you're in a situation where if you look at the standings, okay, Sporting Kansas City, the only team in the league with only 3 points. Every other team has at least 6 points. We are the second worst goal differential in the league behind only Montreal, but at least Montreal has 2 wins to their name. We play them on Saturday. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Very winnable game.
I mean, you would think.
I don't think, though, anymore. But we might mess around and lose on Tuesday, my friend.
Well, we'll talk about that, too. But I'm just like, this is, you can't really anymore even look at the bottom of the playoff line. Again, even though it's early, you can't even really look at the bottom of the playoff line and be like, but yeah, but you win one and then you're suddenly right back in it, because 6 points out of the playoff line, having played one more game than the bottom four teams above the playoff line. So this isn't a quick fix anymore. This is now the hole that people were worried about being dug, where this is going to take a total reversal of form over an extended period of time, and getting a little bit lucky as other teams start to fall off.
Impossible.
It's not impossible. We're 9 games into a 34-game season. There's 25 games left. You can make up 6 points in 25 games, but you can't do it if you show zero reason to believe it can happen. And up until this point, Sporting Kansas City have shown zero reason to believe that anything different will come. And we've talked about that Peter can adjust things beyond just formation or whatnot, but at a certain point, Peter's weakness has always been his rigidity, I think, and sometimes that rigidity has been useful. But at a certain point, it's almost like, okay, what you've been saying you were open for isn't happening, so you got really no choice other than to try something different or just admit this is what it is. And he's not admitting this is what it is, so when are you going to try something different?
Well, I tell you what, when do you stop with the I believe that we will win chant? Because I don't know how many of y'all singing that really believe that.
And this is a good, I guess, philosophical question, because there are more and more fans who, you know, and again, I don't know, it's hard in the age of Twitter and Reddit and whatnot, it's hard to really gauge what's the majority versus what's a loud group or whatnot, but you're seeing more and more people who were being patient starting to say, when's the Cauldron going to make a statement? When are they going to put up a sign that calls for some accountability? And the Cauldron has always been more in lockstep kind of with the club, but you see other supporters groups that do call for change in some way. And I'm not saying that the Cauldron should or shouldn't or whatnot, but I guess I'm curious, like, what do you think there's anything for cauldron or the South Stand or whatnot to be done in terms of like trying to at least voice in some sort of organized way their displeasure?
I mean, not right now. Like I said, we're at the end of April, right? But
sure.
Next month, though, I think it's time to think, like, okay, is our next TIFO, like, I don't know, Daniel Shalloway taking a nap? I don't know. It sounds so mean, but like...
This is always, I guess, the plight of the fan of a bad team. Because this is, I'm not saying that we should follow the Timbers Army, you know, model. But this
they're a little different. They have a lot more to be mad about than us.
Sure, but this is even their sort of like their dilemma they're in is they're saying we want to support the players. We want to be there for the players. We want to voice our displeasure for the front office. And if we don't show up and support, you're making a statement that maybe the front office sees. You're also punishing the players because you're not there to support them. And this is a little different because obviously it's the play on the field versus a front office situation with Portland. Yeah. But at some point, it feels like it's coming to a head at some point where you kind of have to do something drastic if you do want your voice to be heard. And that sucks. But I don't know what to ask Johnny Russell anymore in a post-game locker room situation because we've heard the same thing over and over and it feels like the players are kind of running out of ideas.
Well, this would be the best time for Jordan to roll the clip of you a couple weeks ago when you were like, this is the best, most talented team we've had. And it's like, do you still believe that?
That's the thing. I still, on paper, yes, I still do. But the sum of this team, for whatever reason, is less than its individual parts. And that's a problem. And I don't know if it's the system. I don't know if it's the players have lost total motivation. And even though some of them are very talented players, it's just like, for whatever reason, this isn't working. I don't know if it's a system change. I don't know. We all can have individual theories as to like, I saw a Twitter thread today that was like, Sporting should keep these people, cut these people, and you hold on to these people until you can find better replacements. And sure. And then there's other people like, yeah, but if you fire Peter Vermees right now, then that'll start to get it on a right track. Okay, we can all have these different thoughts. I don't think there's any one thing. And that's the worst problem is there isn't one thing. It feels like it's almost this nebulous cloud problem that's over the club right now that it's almost just like, okay, you're getting closer and closer to just being like, hit the reset button and see what happens.
I mean, dude, that brings us to this week where they might take a look at a couple of SKC2 guys that they just called up for short-term loans.
They might. They called them up.
I wonder if they're more than the Open Cup people, if they'll keep them for a few games or what.
It's possible. They've signed three Sporting Kansas City 2 players to short-term loans. Defender Mo Awalnadi, midfielder Ethan Bryant, and midfielder Sebastian Cruz. And so you alluded to this earlier. You think that they are signing these three players to start them against Tulsa Athletic, a fourth division side who's never played an MLS team?
Buddy, I hope not. I want to see us roll out the best available 11. And smash and just absolutely smash these guys and show them like, nah, man, you're freaking low ass division. You're not going to compete with us. But if you roll out some rinky dink, like, hey, let's just play not to lose instead of playing to win, then we're going to lose the game. And it's going to be laugh of the century. We will get laughed at and you might as well just give us the wooden spoon. Because that, dude, oh, it'd be so bad. I can just kind of see it coming. There's already not going to be many people there because they're trying to do a whole buy a ticket to the Montreal game, get a free ticket to the Tulsa game.
And I'm like, well, that
just sucks. I know people have a hard time going to weeknight games in general. I guess I don't really understand why.
I mean, traffic and where you get off work at 5, if you got kids and their school and homework and whatnot, I get it.
You gotta plan ahead. I mean, I'll get off work at 5 and I'll eat dinner real fast and head out by 6. You know, good deal.
I mean, if some kids have sports practice or homework to do or whatnot, I get that it's hard, but
I don't understand homework. People do that? Never done it. I feel that, dude, it's Open Cup, too. They don't always get a lot of attendance at those.
Especially these early round games.
Which, man, when we went to the Omaha game, one of the funnest times I've ever had in my life. Not only did we score, like, six goals or whatever it was, but our tickets got upgraded. It was a hell of a time.
And Omaha was into it.
Yeah, their fans were there, too. It was great.
Yeah, it's just, I think it would be a disservice to this team to roll out a subpar lineup because Johnny Russell even said
it's gonna happen
after the game, we can't take any team for granted the way we're playing. And
Johnny
so
doesn't make the lineup.
You could look at it one of two ways. Hey, you guys aren't playing well enough, so I'm going to bench you, but I don't think that's the way to do it here. You need to get some of these guys going. You need to get them figuring out how to play together in a different way. And I'm not
scoring
saying,
goal after goal after goal.
I'm not saying take this game for granted. I'm not saying this is the same thing as a training opportunity, but in all likelihood, if you put out the first choice 11 against Tulsa Athletic, you're probably putting yourself in a pretty good chance to move on in advance. And you're also putting these guys in a position where I'm not saying play them a full 90. Go up a few goals, and if you're able to in the 50th minute or 55th minute, pull Johnny Russell, pull Alan Polito, pull, you know, Eric Tommy. Like, get your key guys off. But give them a chance to get right, because nobody's been right this year, and that's the problem. And so let them work out some of the kinks if possible. And if they can't do it against Tulsa Athletic, then that's indicative in and of itself.
Dude, there were just, like, there were even some passes in this last game of where they were just missed. And you could see how frustrated, like Daniel was, or I can't remember who else, but they would just look at him like, what are you doing?
Right.
And I wanted the ball here. And it's like, they're disconnected right now.
Yeah.
But you go out, you put out a first choice lineup against Tulsa and lose? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Might as well just neuter us. We're done.
Yeah, but you can't think that way, I don't think.
I'm thinking that way.
I mean, sure, but it's if you're sitting your starters because you're worried about what would happen if we lose to Tulsa Athletic with our starters.
I'm not saying that.
It's already time to give up on the year.
No, I'm just saying, like, it could fucking happen. It could happen.
The way they've been playing at times, it absolutely could. But use this game as a way to, and I know there's a risk of injury and whatnot, but use this game as a way to get some of these guys right, because we don't have the luxury of screwing around. The Open Cup might be our only chance at any sort of trophy this year. So,
yeah.
And I don't think that redeems the year. You could, if you win the U.S. Open Cup, but you get the wooden spoon, it's not a successful year, I would say. That's not how
I don't take that for granted. Guess what? Do wooden spoon winners get in Champions League? Yes, they do. Like, that, it could happen.
Yeah, if you win the Open Cup.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
But I don't know. I would start a first choice 11 because I want to see what this team can do, and I don't think it's going to happen. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'll cry, dude. I'll be so mad.
And I think it's a mistake.
You going to this thing? Are you coming tonight?
I'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a mistake if they don't start the first choice 11 because I don't think we can take anything for granted this year.
You got something queued up for Peter at the end regarding this lineup he's going to put out?
I mean, we'll see what happens in the game. If he puts out a, you know, second choice lineup and they end up winning 7-0, you can't exactly go in there and be like, now why did you do that, Peter? Because he's going to be like, because we won 7-0.
Let's be honest, though. There are some SKC2 guys that have been balling. And then I'm like, not too mad about them coming up and trying it out. You know what I mean? Getting
and if they ball, then give them a chance.
Yeah.
Why not?
This has so many feelings and narratives around it and storylines, and I'm just really excited to see what happens tonight.
Yeah. So there's that on Tuesday, tonight, and then Saturday, Montreal comes to town. Now, Montreal has been, as we mentioned, one of the worst teams in the league. They have a negative 10 goal differential because they've let 17 goals into our 13. They've also scored 5 goals to our 3. They have 2 wins to our 0. They have 6 points to our 3. This is a home game that if you do not win against Montreal, that, I mean, there's going to be riots in these SKC streets.
And
like, man, there's no option anymore. Like, I know what Peter said, and I know what I said previously about Colorado being a must-win game or whatnot, but, like, if you lose to Montreal on Saturday,
you will genuinely lose fans for the rest of the season. There will be a non-negligible number of people who will say, I don't believe anymore. And sure, if Sporting KC were to somehow turn it around and get back in it, some of them would come back or whatnot. But this isn't the type of game. Like, you can't keep doing this. You can't go through nearly a third of the season and simply not win a game and expect to have any sort of consistent support or reason to believe. It just can't happen. You have to win this game against Montreal, and you have to do it in somewhat convincing fashion.
Oh, buddy, there's about to be an uprising. I'm not confident anymore at all. I have not seen anything that demonstrates that we can even win a game at all.
Yeah.
So you saying this and like it has to happen, it's like, I feel like it kind of does, but I don't know if it will.
I don't know if it will either. Now, Montreal went up. They beat the New York Red Bulls last week 2-0. They did get an own goal in the 25th minute. And then, excuse me, I'm allergic to goals, apparently. I mentioned a goal and I start sneezing. I'm like Sporting Kansas City.
I love a good sneeze. I just laugh.
It came out of nowhere. Otherwise, I would have warned you. There was an own goal that put Montreal up 1-0 in the 25th minute. And then they got a goal in the second minute of stoppage time in the second half to ultimately beat the Red Bulls 2-0. So they're not world beaters. They did just beat a pretty crappy New York Red Bulls team. But like I said, got to get multiple goals. Got to hopefully get a clean sheet. But they haven't really shown that they can do it.
Crowd will go nuts. You win this game, people are going to be like, yes, oh my God. Like, I'm making a baby tonight. Like, it's going to be in like a championship game because of how things have been.
But at this point, don't you kind of think that like it'll almost be like a patronizing, sarcastic cheer for winning a game? Like, I'm sure there will be some sigh of relief, but like it's one of those things where it's like when we played Toluca and they were olaying their own team down in Mexico. It's going to be that sort of like, oh, congrats, you finally won a game. It only took 10 games. And like, of course, that can turn around if you keep doing it, but it's not, I still enjoy going to the games, but like, it's becoming more and more of a hyper-pressurized situation that eventually is going to explode in one way or another, I feel like.
Yeah.
So.
100%, man. It will be, there will be cheers, and it absolutely will be sarcastic.
Yeah. And now you're trying to look toward the future. Okay, Willy Agata done for at least 12 weeks. He had surgery. And so he's out until mid to late July at the earliest.
And he had them phantom pains. Turns out it was a leg break.
It was a stress fracture that he apparently has had for a while. And again, Doyle posits maybe that's why he hasn't been as explosive as he was last year. Who knows when and how this appeared. But
that's a broken bone, right? Like a fracture is a broken bone.
Fractured bone, yeah. It's a stress fracture. It's probably, you know, they didn't go into detail, but it's probably like sort of like a crack, a hairline. It's not like his leg was snapped, obviously, but it's a crack along the leg that can cause pain or discomfort or a lack of explosiveness or whatnot. So
you got me wanting to go get x-rays because I'm like...
Full body scan?
Bro, I get pains in places and I'm like, what if I got some freaking fractures, man? Me and Willie Agata, that's bro stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Basically the same. Peter Vermees did say this past Thursday that the team is looking for replacements at the attacking positions. And then, of course, the news came out that none other than the man himself, Dom Dwyer, is training in a trial fashion with Sporting Kansas City. Now, as of this recording, he has not been officially signed, but he was continuing to train with the club. There was probably no addition in the last couple of hours between the trade deadline or the transfer window closing and when we recorded this. So that means that you either have to sign somebody who's out of contract and they're probably going to be domestic, so you don't have to deal with the international P1 visa issues.
Right.
That's Dom Dwyer.
There you go. Hey, I founded a little group I like to call Team Chaos, and there's room for you if you want to get on it because it sounds amazing.
I mean, let
it do the damn deal.
If you were to tell me in the year of our Lord 2023 that Sporting Kansas City are turning to Dom Dwyer to fix their scoring woes, I would be like, something has gone terribly wrong. And let me tell you, my friend, something has gone terribly wrong because it is the year of our Lord 2023 and Sporting Kansas City is looking to Dom Dwyer to fix our attacking woes. And so at this point, I'm like, whatever. let it happen, because it's not going to, it can't be worse than it is now. And he's not going to be the starter. Polito will continue to be the starter. But
he was fun, dude, when he was here. He was a lot of fun.
He was a little, you know, agitator. He was a menace. He was an agitator.
We need that right now.
And he'll probably continue to be an agitator. He had basically one good year after leaving Sporting Kansas City, because he had his record-breaking year in 2014 with SKC, where he scored 22 goals. Followed it up with 12 goals the next year and 16 goals the year after that. He scored 9 goals in 2017 across two clubs. His one decent year with Orlando City was in 2018. He had 13 goals in 25 starts, so that's not terrible. And ever since then, it's been 7 goals and 16 starts. Then he had no goals and 2 starts in 2020, 2 appearances. No goals and 6 starts, 14 appearances in 2021 for Toronto. 4 goals and 5 starts and 22 appearances for Atlanta last year. I mean, this is not the Dom Dwyer of 2014, but I guess why not?
Why the hell not? What do you got to lose? It's not going to be super expensive. You know, it's like, hey,
contract.
Yeah, you're not putting up the numbers you were, so we're going to pay you based on your performance, you know? It's just, let's do it. Like, I don't, who cares? I'm not saying I'm pumped. I'm not saying, like, this is the answer.
Yeah.
Let's fix it. No, but let's do it and have a little fun. Like, this is the game. We're supposed to have fun. I want to see backflips, baby. Willie Agata and him could do them together in about 12 weeks.
In about 12 weeks. There you go. I think this is probably going to happen. I think he might even be in the team selection in the 20 for Saturday against Montreal.
What the fuck? Why are you saying that?
Why wouldn't he be?
Why do you think that?
Because we have no other striker. He's been training with the team for a week.
But he hasn't signed anything.
I think between now and Saturday, he'll probably sign.
Oh, you think it might happen right now?
It could.
It might be hitting the Twitters right now.
Knowing how our recording tends to go, that's probably what's happening.
Okay. Then let's let's pause and be like, dude, I can't believe we just signed Dom Dwyer. It's happening.
It's weird how that happened. I just, you know, I'll look right now just to make sure it's not happening as we're literally recording. But no, it does not appear that it's happened as of now. But I just think that at this point, it's inevitable. There's nobody else. So
he's Thanos. He's inevitable.
He and Seth Sinovic are inevitable.
Let's go.
So we're getting the band back together. We're going full Blues Brothers. And we'll see. You know, we're on a mission from God, and we'll see what happens.
I'm excited, dude. If that happens, I don't care. People will cheer. The dude was a favorite. He didn't piss anybody off. He talked to me at a freaking event one time at Sporting. I think you talked to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about each other's tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you want to touch mine? He was like, what? I was like, what? It's the whole thing.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. We'll see. It's not an exciting acquisition. I think he'd get a good ovation the first time he takes the field for Sporting KC, just out of, you know, appreciation for past things. It'll be weird to see Dom back in a Sporting jersey, but I think it's happening at this point. So
it's crazy.
The only other big news really to talk about, and this is, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. According to the Kansas City Star, Governor Laura Kelly, the governor of Kansas, obviously, has requested $10 million to help prepare the Kansas City area for the World Cup. She's requested this from the state general fund. So it's part of a larger supplemental budget request. I don't know if this means that the Kansas legislature has to approve it or what. I'm not well-versed enough in that. But this is the interesting part. If you pull this out of the article, $10 million requested to help prepare the Kansas City metro area for thousands of visitors. Quote, the funds would be used to improve the Sporting KC facility in Kansas City, Kansas, and its surrounding areas, and includes the construction of an entertainment facility outside of the stadium, with the hopes improvements will increase economic activity in the region even after the World Cup is done.
Where the hell is that going to be? Where's that going to go?
I don't know exactly, but they want to build an entertainment complex apparently outside the stadium. And they also...
It's called Legends.
And apparently they also want to improve the Sporting KC facility. I assume that's referring to Children's Mercy Park. So $10 million isn't going to go a long way if you're using it to, one, build an entertainment district and try to help improve CMP. But this is an interesting sort of tidbit that we'll see what comes of it.
I'm sure it'll work out. I mean, the legislators would rather do that than approve marijuana.
Seems that way.
You know?
But it is interesting because we've talked about how CMP is, even though it's still nice enough, it's starting to fall behind some of these other new stadiums. And it's going to take more than a portion of $10 million. The owners are going to have to put in some of their own money to continue to improve the stadium or figure out something. But I don't know. It's just interesting that, you know, this is going to be something to continue to follow as to how the World Cup coming in 2026 may impact Sporting Kansas City and the Sporting KC game day experience. So we'll see if Missouri does something similar to help improve the experience around the Kansas City current stadium. I don't know. That stadium is only just now getting built, so it's hard to know exactly what that will look like. But
yeah,
but I don't know. So just thought that was an interesting little tidbit that the Star broke on Monday.
I had not seen that, so you broke that to me. Good time.
There you go. So yeah, what that entertainment facility, it says entertainment facility and entertainment facility outside of the stadium.
So, I hope they have laser tag.
That's what you want?
I'm a big time laser tag at many entertainment facilities.
Okay. So you just want them to build like, well, no, there's already a Dave and Buster's doesn't have laser tag.
No, they don't got laser tag. You got to go to Main Event for that.
Main Event has laser tag?
They do.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's been a lot. It's probably been 20 years since I've played laser tag.
No shit?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Laser tag. That's a hell of a
time. I don't even know where you could go play laser tag in Kansas City.
Main Event?
Well, now I know.
Shit, I'm pretty sure Topeka has one. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that. So that's about it. There's not a lot of hope for Sporting Kansas City fans right now. But
keep your heads up. Keep your heads up and enjoy the time watching the beautiful game. I mean, that's all we can do right now.
There's that. It just sucks that Sporting KC's having their worst possible year, maybe ever, while St. Louis is doing their thing over and continuing to win games, and they have 19 points, whatever they have. So
bet you feel pretty stupid about winning those St. Louis lottery tickets first quarters. You get to go down there, and you're like, well, maybe I'll give these away.
It sucks, man. It really does.
It does. I couldn't do that, by the way. I didn't want to put my name in the hat for the drawing because Casey Curran has a home game that night.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd rather go to a game I paid for than to miss it, you know? So
yeah, I get it. So I don't know, man. It's it sucks, but look, at least hopefully next week we can do a victory pod because we beat Tulsa Athletic. I'm not even sure that that'll be a fun victory pod to do, but at least it's a victory.
Oh, boy. So, boy.
We'll see. But thank you all so much for listening and sticking with us. We really do appreciate it. I know the season has not been what any of us want, but hey, here's hoping that we can at some point turn it around. And if not, we'll continue to commiserate together here on the podcast. But make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Shoot us that email, NoOtherPod@gmail.com. Check us out, KCSN Soccer on YouTube. Download the KCSN app that you can get now, and you can get our podcast, get our YouTube videos right there in the app, wherever you get your apps available. And make sure you leave us that 5-star rating and review. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
Fuck Bruce Arena.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN. Covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. Plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou. By searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.